You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to the great book of 1 Samuel, chapter 20, verse 1, where we left off last time. 1 Samuel, chapter 20, verse 1. Everybody in the world's invited to come here every Wednesday at 6 p.m. We're live on the air with SoundCloud, Facebook, and through social taping. When we go off the air, we have prayer meeting with fervent prayer for America. On the first Wednesday of every month at 6 p.m., I offer LOL, lots of love for you. On that first Wednesday of each month at 6 p.m., I am not on the air that time. I take that whole time, I devote that time to giving lots of love for you. I pray for everybody who comes one by one, individually, personally, and specifically. My twin friend Scott Mercer is on one side of the bench. He's anointed too, and I'm on the other. We have three segments of prayer. We have a prayer for healing physically, mentally, and emotionally. And we always obey James 5, 13 through 17, we're not with oil. Then we have a segment for deliverance from alcohol, from drugs, and pornography. Do not be ashamed, there but for the grace of God go I. Amen. And then, last but not least, Romans 8, 26. For we know not how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit will intercede for us with groanings which cannot be uttered, that we pray according to Father's will. And everybody gets to come up to the bench one by one. And the Holy Spirit will often tell you something you don't even know about yourself. Words of prophecy, words of knowledge. To him be the glory. Amen. Also, everybody in the world is also invited to come here every Sunday at 5 p.m. We're live on the air with radio, internet, SoundCloud, Facebook, and through social taping. I'm in Century, Florida. I'm right beside Scott versus the Produce Place. The Amazing Grace, that is the Produce Place, is at the corner of Wickham Road and Panita Causeway. I'm right there. You'll see a sign, Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. Excuse me. As the curtain comes up on 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 1, the first man king of Israel, King Saul, has rejected God. And all of his evil feelings, emotions, spirit is showing. He declares and decrees he's going to kill David because God has anointed David to be the king of Israel because David is a man after God's own heart. King Saul's son Jonathan would be the heir to the throne, but Jonathan is willing to give up the throne because Jonathan is also a man of God. He and David have made a blood covenant because they both are called of God. They are best friend, kindred spirit, prayer partners. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, it says, these things happen to these people in the Bible, Jonathan, David, King Saul, for an example for those of us who come to the end of the age. We are at the end of the age. Jonathan now becomes a type of the Lord Jesus Christ who gave up his throne in heaven to come and save his church. David represents a sanctified church. Therefore, from God's heart to my heart to your heart, what a friend we have in Jesus.
Amen. Verse 1. And David fled from Naioth in Ramah and came and said before Jonathan, what have I done? What is mine iniquity? And what is my sin before thine father that he seeketh my life?
What have I done? Why would your father want to kill me? They killed Jesus and he had no sin.
Verse 2. And he said unto him, God forbid thou shalt not die. My father would do nothing, either great or small, but he would show it me.
He said, no, David, Jonathan's trying to give his dad the benefit of the doubt. No, he would tell me. Jesus said, I do nothing, but first I see what the Father doeth.
Now, why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so.
Jonathan doesn't want it to be so.
Verse 3. And David sware moreover and said, thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes. And he saith, let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death.
David says, Jonathan, your dad knows that you and I are best friend covenant, blood brother covenant, so he's not going to tell you.
Verse 4. Then said Jonathan unto David, whatsoever thy soul desireth, I will do it for thee.
Jesus says, if you shall ask anything which is in my will, the word of God, in my name, I will give it you.
Verse 5. And David said to Jonathan, tomorrow is the new moon.
Tomorrow is a sacred feast to the Lord.
And I should not fail to sit with the king at meat.
I should be there because I'm King Saul's armor bearer.
But let me go, that I may hide myself in the field until the third day at even.
Jesus said in Matthew 23, the field is the world. Jesus left heaven's glory, and he came to the field, the world. And he came to his own, and his own knew him not. He was hidden. They did not know that he was Yahweh. He was not Yahweh the Lord. They did not know he was Emmanuel, God with us. They did not know that Jesus is God.
Verse 6. If thy father and all miss me, David earnestly asked leave of me.
Okay, if he asked why I'm not there,
he might run to Bethlehem, his city.
I'm going to Bethlehem. Jesus came to Bethlehem, house of bread.
For there is a yearly sacrifice there for all of my family.
My father's going to have the sacrifice there also to the Lord.
Verse 7. If he say thus, it is well, thy servant shall have peace.
If your dad says, okay, then I know he's not going to kill me, says David.
But if he be very wroth, then be sure that evil is determined by him.
If he's angry, know that he's going to kill me. The devil is very angry right now because he knows his time is short.
Amen.
Verse 8, therefore thou shalt deal kindly with thy servant.
Do this for me, please, says David.
For thou hast brought thy servant into a covenant of the Lord.
You and I have made a blood covenant. A covenant is a contract and cannot be broken. Jesus Christ and the church who are saved, we are in a blood covenant. Jesus shed his blood, and everything in that Bible is a contract. If you will do the ifs, God will not break that covenant. Genesis 1 through Revelation 22. God's not a man that he should lie. His word is truth. He watches over his word.
Notwithstanding, if there be any iniquity, slay me thyself. For why shouldest thou bring me to thy father? Verse 9.
David says, I'd rather you kill me than the devil kill me. I'd rather Jesus kill me than the devil, wouldn't you? But what this shows is Jonathan is a king's son. Jesus is God's son. The one we'll all stand before on Judgment Day will be Jesus. He will decide our fate.
And Jonathan said, far be it from thee. For if I knew certainly that evil were determined by my father to come upon thee, then would not I tell thee?
I tell you, David, if my father were going to kill you. Jesus said in Mark 13, behold, I have foretold you all things. Everything that's going on in the world right now, all the seasons, nothing should be a surprise. Jesus told us the good news, the gospel, and he told us the bad news, all about the political system of Antichrist working right now such evil and the soon coming Antichrist. He tells us that in Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21. There's nothing hidden shall not be revealed. Jesus has foretold us all things. There's no reason for anybody in the church to be confused.
Amen.
Verse 10. Then said David to Jonathan, who shall tell me, or what if thy father answer thee roughly?
Now, if he answers you roughly, then wants to kill me, will you tell me?
Verse 11. And Jonathan said unto David, come, and let us go out into the field. And they went out, both of them, into the field.
Okay. Now, we all had to come to the field of the world because all of sin comes short of the glory of God. But Jesus also came into the field. The reason Jonathan's doing this, because King Saul's watching him, he wants to get out, so he can say, I've got a plan, and I don't want my dad to hear this plan. Jesus came, he had a plan. He kind of sneaked in as a little baby there.
Hallelujah.
Verse 12, and Jonathan said unto David, O Lord God of Israel.
Now, what he's doing here, he's asking God to come into this equation. He's saying, this plan that God has given me, Jonathan represents Jesus, my father will hear this. In other words, a threefold cord is not easily broken.
Amen.
When I have sounded my father tomorrow,
when I've checked him out to see how he's doing,
any time, or the third day, and behold, if there be good for David, and I then send not unto thee, and show it thee.
If it's good, I'll come and tell you. But it's like 3 days. This is a three-day feast.
Verse 13, the Lord do so and much more unto Jonathan.
If I don't tell you.
But if it please my father to do thee evil, then I will show it thee.
I'll tell you.
And send thee away that thou mayest go in peace.
So that you may go and run from my father.
And the Lord be with thee as he has been with my father.
King Saul did have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Remember that? But because he rejected God, God rejected him. But now, David has the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and God is with David. When Jesus was going back to heaven after he was crucified, shed his blood, arose from the dead, he said, I know you're sad, but he said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I will send you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of the Father. And he will be with you and in you. He will guide you and lead you. So you'll always have my direction. Every Christian in the world, if you are led by the Holy Spirit, you're never without direction. He says, do that. Don't do that. Go there. Don't go there. Say that. Don't say that. That's a lie. That's a truth.
Amen.
Verse 14. And thou shalt not only, while yet I live, show me the kindness of the Lord, that I die not.
Now Jonathan says, I've got children, a family, David. And he said, one day I'll go back home to be with God. So I want you to do something for my children when you get back on the throne. He knows that God has called David. He believes David's going to survive this. We believe Donald Trump's going to survive this.
Amen.
Verse 15. But also, thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever.
And David would not. Later on, when David got back on the throne and Jonathan had died, David took care of Jonathan's children.
No, not when the Lord hath cut off the enemies of David.
The Lord's going to cut off your enemies, David. You are going to get back on the throne. Yes, they cut off Jesus' life for a little while there. He arose from the dead. But Jesus Christ arose, he's coming back again, and all of his enemies, all of David's enemies, all of the church's enemies shall walk into the lake of fire at the great white throne judgment. All of our enemies will be cut off. All the liars, all the communists, all the socialists, all the Marxists, all the people who don't accept Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Everyone from the face of the earth.
No more here.
Verse 16, so Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David.
Now, this is a contract. It's not with David, but it's with his lineage. God told David there will always be someone to sit on the throne of David until Shiloh come, he whose right it is to come, until Jesus come. That covenant has been kept. The tribes migrated, but the house of David, the throne of David, stood. Some of the tribes went into Great Britain, and the throne in England is the throne of David. Queen Elizabeth sat on it for a long, long time. We love her. She's going to heaven. Prince Charles has not yet been coronated king. He's supposed to be in May. And nobody's really sitting on it right now. The Bible says the next one that really should sit on is Jesus. There will be an imposter to sit on it, but he's not going to stay there very long. The Antichrist, the devil with his Jesus costume on, will come to Jerusalem and call himself Jesus, and Jesus came to the lineage of David. But the next real king to sit on the throne of David will be the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus is coming again. Amen. It's later than you say.
Saying, let the Lord require it, even at the hand of David's enemies.
Require means restore. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 31 says, if a thief be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. Everything that was stolen from Jesus shall be restored. Everything was stolen from David shall be restored. Everything that has been stolen from the church of Jesus Christ, all of us, shall be restored. Amen. Sevenfold.
Amen.
Verse 17. And Jonathan caused David to swear again.
This is not a curse word, but I want you to renew your vow. It is time, every Christian in the world, you can't play church anymore. Your job doesn't matter. Your relationships don't matter. Your money won't do you any good. The Antichrist is about to come. All that matters right now, every Christian, right now, renew your love for Jesus Christ. Let your whole life be Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Amen.
That's what you're about, you know.
Amen. Because he loved him. For he loved him as his own soul.
God so loved the world, he sent his son. For the joy set before him, Jesus went to the cross because he loved us.
Verse 18, and Jonathan said to David, tomorrow is a new moon.
Tomorrow's the feast day.
And thou shalt be missed, because thy seat shall be empty. Verse 19, and when thou hast stayed 3 days, then thou shalt go down quickly and come to the place where thou didst hide thyself when the business was in hand, and shall remain by the stone Ezel.
Jesus said, I desire to have this Passover meal with you. And so, for 3 days, Jesus was gone. His body lay in the sepulchre, and a great big stone was rolled over it. But Jesus' body was behind that stone, but his spirit was in paradise preaching to the lost souls.
Yeah. Verse 20, and I will shoot 3 arrows on the side thereof, as though I shot at a mark.
Now, to fool King Saul, Jonathan and his dad Saul are the tribe of Benjamin. In the book of Judges, the tribe of Benjamin are experts in bows and arrows. So obviously Jonathan go out there and practice that. So he says, my father is going to think I'm just practicing my arrow. Bow and arrow.
Verse 21. And behold, I will send a lad saying,
I got a little caddy with me here.
Go find out the arrows. If I expressly say unto the lad, behold the arrows on this side of thee, take them. Then come thou, for there is peace unto thee.
That means come on back to Jerusalem. Dad's not going to kill you.
I have no hurt as the Lord liveth. Verse 22. But if I say thus unto the young man, behold, the arrows are beyond thee.
Beyond thee.
Go thy way, for the Lord has sent thee away.
Run for your life, David.
Verse 23. And as touching the matter of which thou and I have spoken of.
Of what we're speaking of now.
Behold, the Lord be between thee and me forever.
Jesus will never leave us. He'll never forsake us forever and ever.
Verse 24. So David hid himself in the field. And when the new moon was come,
feast day, 3 day feast,
the king set him down to eat meat. Verse 25. And the king sat upon his seat, as at other times, even upon a seat by the wall.
A wall is a high and lofty place. He's got the highest place there. The Antichrist will come before Jesus, pretending to be Jesus instead of Christ, and he will be high and lifted up. Isaiah 14, but he will not always be high lifted up. He will be abased.
And Jonathan arose, and Abner sat by Saul's side.
Okay, Jonathan is next in line to be the king, so he would sit at his father's right hand. But Jonathan gladly gives up his throne at the father Saul's right hand and gives it place to an army general. Jesus sits at the right hand of God, but before he came down here and died for us, he gave up that throne so that you and I could be generals, soldiers of the cross. We are soldiers of the cross.
Amen.
And David's place was empty. Verse 26. Nevertheless, Saul spoke not anything that day, for he thought something had befallen him. He is not clean. Surely he is not clean.
The Mosaic law said if you had any sin in you, you could not come to that meal. Now, Saul hates David and thinks he's a sinner. Not so, of course. Now, next Sunday, we're going to have Holy Communion, the Lord's table. You don't ever want to come to the feast of the Lord's table with any sin. I'll make sure that everybody gets a chance to repent of their sins before we take the communion.
Verse 27. And it came to pass on the morrow, which was the second day of the month, that David's place was empty. And Saul said unto Jonathan his son, wherefore cometh not the son of Jesse to meat?
Where's David?
Neither yesterday nor today. Verse 28. And Jonathan answered Saul, David earnestly asked leave of me to go to Bethlehem. Verse 29. And he said, let me go, I pray thee, for our family hath a sacrifice in the city, and my brother, he hath commanded me to be there.
The older brother there, the elder brother, Eliab, said, you come. Now, while Jesus is our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Savior, he's also our elder brother. When Jesus comes back, he will bid us to come to the marriage supper of the Lamb.
Now, if I have found favor in thy eyes, let me get away and see my brethren.
In other words, Dad, David asked me as a king's son if he could go. He asked permission.
Behold, he cometh not unto the king's table. Verse 30. Then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan, and he said to him, thou son of the perverse, rebellious woman.
He insults Jonathan's mother. I mean, it's kind of like Joe Biden. You know, Joe Biden says, you know what? Okay. Now, Jesus' mother was often maligned. Don't you know they said, Jesus, you were born out of wedlock. Your mama and Joseph got together before they got married. She's just a you know what. Nothing new under the sun, not so.
Amen.
Mary was a virgin.
Yeah. Did not I know that thou hast chosen the son of Jesse to thine own confusion and to the confusion of thy mother's nakedness?
I know you had covenant with David. Now, that is the lowest insult you can have. To uncover thy mother's nakedness, Leviticus says, is to lie in a sexual act with your father's wife. Of course, not so, not so.
Verse 31. And as long as the son of Jesse liveth upon the ground, thou shalt not be established, nor thy kingdom.
Don't you understand, Jonathan? You're supposed to be the king after me, but God's chosen David. If we don't kill him, you can't be king. But Jesus says, I will come as a servant. I'll come as a little babe in a manger.
Wherefore now send him and fetch him unto me, for he shall surely die.
Jesus came to die. Now David's like Jesus.
Verse 32. And Jonathan answered Saul his father and said unto him, wherefore shall he be slain? What hath he done?
Jesus now sits at the right hand of the Father in heaven, ever living to make intercession for us. When you and I sin, the Father sees it, and Jesus says, no, Father, they've not sinned. I took that sin on my body on the cross.
Verse 33, and Saul cast a javelin at him to smite him.
He's tried to set a spear in him. When Jesus was on the cross, they put a spear in his side. Out came the water, out came the blood, so you and I could be his bride.
Whereby Jonathan knew that it was determined of his father to slay David.
No doubt now.
Verse 34. So Jonathan arose from the table in fierce anger.
Righteous indignation. Jesus had righteous indignation. Mm-hmm. It's time, church, that you had righteous indignation against the wiles of the devil.
Yeah. And he ate no meat on the second day of the month.
He fasted. Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights, Matthew 4.
For he was grieved for David, for his father had done him shame.
Jesus says, I don't want you to be ashamed when you stand before me. Jesus was shamed. They stripped him naked so you and I could be covered with a robe of righteousness and not be ashamed.
Verse 35. And it came to pass in the morning, Jonathan went out into the field at the time appointed with David, and a little lad with him.
Little caddy there.
Verse 36. And he said unto his lad, and now find out the arrows which I shoot. And as the lad ran, he shot an arrow beyond him.
Beyond.
Verse 37. And when the lad was come to the place of the arrow, which Jonathan had shot, Jonathan cried after the lad and said, is not the arrow beyond thee? Verse 38. And Jonathan cried out to the lad, make speed, haste, stay not.
David, you better run.
And Jonathan's lad gathered up the arrows and came to his master. Verse 39. But the lad knew not anything.
He didn't know what was going on. Half the body of Christ, Matthew 25, five foolish virgins, have no idea what's going on right now. Otherwise, you'd be standing up and fighting the spiritual battle.
Only Jonathan and David knew the matter. Verse 40. And Jonathan gave his artillery unto his lad and said to him, go carry them into the city. Verse 41.
He wanted to have a few minutes with David.
And as soon as the lad was gone, David arose out of the place toward the south.
Everything was south now for David. He was a man without a country. Jesus came to his own as knew him not. He would have to leave his dad Jesse, mother, his brothers, his new wife Michal, and his best friend.
And fell on his face toward the ground and bowed himself three times.
Jonathan still was royalty, so out of respect for him, he bowed to him. Even though Jesus is our friend that sticketh closer than a brother, we never forget that he is King of Kings, and we perpetually bow before him.
Amen. And they kissed one another.
This is not a sexual kiss. Psalm 2 says, kiss the son, lest he be angry at thee. It's a respect.
And wept one with another until David exceeded.
They cried until they could cry no more. Jesus was a man of grief, acquainted with sorrow. When Mary and Martha were crying because Lazarus was dead, Jesus wept. Jesus keeps our tears in his bottle.
Verse 42. And Jonathan said to David, go in peace, for as much as we have sworn, both of us, in the name of the Lord, saying, the Lord be between me and thee, and between my seed and thy seed forever. And Jonathan went into the city.
Jonathan goes back to Jerusalem. Jesus is coming again. Jesus and his church have been physically separated for over 2,000 years, but his spirit is with us. Jonathan David's spirit will be with each other. The Holy Spirit is with us, but Jesus is coming again as he'll land his feet in Jerusalem. Jesus said in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again that where I am, there you may be also. What a friend we have in Jesus. I pray you are blessed.
Amen. Amen.
Let me introduce to you the owner of the produce place, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very well, Miss Sherry. That was a great word. Great word.
Awesome.
Today.
David left his stuff in the car. Does he go put his stuff in the bag? What is Scott's stuff?
And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Deuteronomy 31:8.
Absolutely perfect. Great, Scott. Amen. We did not collude. Thank you. Before we pray for healing, we want you to be saved. Pray this prayer with me if you're not saved all over the world. Mean it with your heart. God will save you right now. Almighty God, in Jesus' name, I am a sinner.
Almighty God, in Jesus' name, I am a sinner.
I repent of my sins.
I change my mind.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. Jesus Christ, Son of God, come into my heart.
Jesus Christ, Son of God, come into my heart.
Save my soul and forgive all my sins. Wash them all away with the precious blood of Jesus. Baptize me with the Holy Spirit. Put me where you want me in your church. And make me usable. To win many souls to Jesus. I confess with my mouth to the whole wide world. That Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Amen, amen. Now for those of you in cyberspace, the Bible in the book of Romans says with the mouth confession is made to salvation. You need to tell people, I invite you to tell me. In a moment, Scott, my announcer, will give you my telephone number. Call that number for my voicemail. Leave a confession on there. When I get it, I'll pray for you. And welcome to the family of God. You also may email me. Now, you want to buy yourself a Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. I suggest the King James is the only version that you can trace almost every word back to the original language in which God dictated. Hebrew, Greek, Chaldee, Aramaic, and Syriac. Then you want to read that Bible every day. You want to pray now to the Father every day, Father, in the name of Jesus, and go to church every time the door opens on the Sabbath and midweek. You need it all now. There's nothing else going to sustain you. Find a church that teaches the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line. Why? Paul said, read this epistle in the church. Read the letter, the love letter. And Isaiah 28 says, line by line, make sure that the Holy Spirit rules there in power. And the gifts of Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12 are operating. And God bless you. Here's my email, shari.medlock@gmail.com. Again, shari.medlock@gmail.com. The G is for God. For healing, I want to pray for the broken hearts in America.
Amen.
Our fearless leader, President Donald John Trump, is being arrested Tuesday, and he has not committed any crime. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before your throne to lift up all the broken hearts in America, for our hearts are crying. We love this man. You brought him to us. He truly loves you. He loves America, the greatest president in my lifetime. We ask for all of us, we'll let not our hearts be troubled. We'll keep our faith strong. We'll believe that God, the enemy, meant this for evil, but God will turn it for good.
Amen.
And we know for Donald Trump that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So, Father, let us all rejoice over the world. We have the victory.
Amen.
Donald Trump has the victory.
Amen.
Greater is he who's in us than he's in the world.
Yes,
and so we all rejoice when our hearts are healed.
Amen.
And we all say, I agree.
In Jesus' name.
The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is your second best friend, Sherry Medlock, but your best friend is the Lord Jesus Christ. No greater love is this than a man lay down his life for his friend. He will never leave you, never forsake you. I'm your friend too. Jesus loves you. I love you. And I'm looking forward to next time when all over the world and all in here, we get together as a family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the trumpet of truth.
Brevard County's Praise and Worship Station, your radios are tuned in to WMIE 91.5 FM.
Your love's better than all things. always true, always able, always good. I love you, I love you, Lord, forever. My heart is yours. I love you, I love you, Lord, forever. My heart is yours. Always patient, always kind, always perfect, always bright, always faithful.
Salvation set us free. Death, where is that sting? The curse of sin is broken. The empty tomb stands open. Come and see. Alive, 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 hallelujah. Alive, praise and glory to the Lamb. Alive, 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 hallelujah. Alive, forever, amen. Let my heart sing out for Christ the one and only. So powerful and holy, rescued me.
You are listening to today's Modern Worship here in Brevard County, 91.5 FM, WMIE. You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
A lot of Christians are operating on limited grace.
Dr. Tony Evans says some people have enough grace to save them, but not enough to change them.
But when God gives greater grace, when God gives greater presence, then you'll find victory over things you never had victory over before.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Dr. Evans says worldliness is like a poison that pollutes the church. First, it neutralizes our impact, and then it starts eating away at us from the inside out. Today, he talks about the antidote God has provided and why some believers are reluctant to take it. Let's join him.
When the Bible speaks about the world, it uses the Greek word cosmos, from which we get our English word cosmetic, cosmopolitan. The Greek word cosmos, when speaking not about the physical globe, but about the spiritual reality, refers to a system. The world is referencing a system. And when that word is used, when we use it today, we're referring to some organized system around a central subject. If I were to say to you the world of sports, you know that I'm talking about any and everything that deals with athletics. I'm talking about stadiums. I'm talking about different kinds of athletic competitions. I'm talking about different athletes, equipment, because the world of sports is a system operating around a central subject, and that is anything having to do with athletics. If I said something to you about the world of fashion, I'm talking about anything that has to do with attire, clothing, material, anything that has to do with how you look and what you wear is the world of fashion. It's a system around a central subject. If I were to reference to you the world of finance, I'm talking about anything that has to do with money or monetary areas of life. That could be the Fed, that could be the Treasury, that could be our debt, that could be the use of credit cards, that could be your bank, the credit union. Anything that has to do with money is in this world called finance. And heavy on our minds currently is the world of politics. Anything that has to do with government affairs, politicians, that has to do with Congress, the presidency, the mayor, or any of the races that people vote on, or voting integrity or voting suppression or whatever it has to do, anything that has to do with government affairs is in this world of politics. So the Greek word cosmos is referring to any system that is pointed in a central direction toward a central subject. When the Bible uses the word world, in that sense, it is talking about that system headed by Satan that leaves God out. Satan's one goal in the world is to get you and me and us to keep God out of the equation. That is the goal of the cosmos. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19 says that the whole world lies in the hands of the wicked one. So the cosmos is owned by the devil. He runs its structures, he runs its programs, he runs its personalities, he runs its agenda. The whole world is operating in the hands of the evil one. Amen. So we should not be surprised that God has a problem when Christians are worldly. And so he says, this system that wants to leave me out is not supposed to be part of your environment, because what it will do is it will break intimacy with me. It will break fellowship with me. Why? Because he says, verse 5, or do you think that the scripture speaks to no purpose? He jealously desires the spirit which he has made to dwell in us. So here we're told God is a jealous God. He's a jealous lover. He says, I am not sharing you. Okay? He says, I am jealous for the spirit that I have placed inside of you. So he's talking to Christians, because only Christians have the Holy Spirit inside. So here's what happens. When you and I accept Christ, the Holy Spirit enters into our human spirit, giving us the capacity to communicate with God. The Holy Spirit, once you accept Christ, enters you and he enters your human spirit, regenerates it, quickens it, so that we now can communicate with God. He says in verse 5, God is jealous for the spirit that he has placed inside of you. In other words, God wants to relate to you spiritually because his spirit has now joined your spirit so that he can now have meaningful, intimate fellowship with you spiritually. But once you introduce the world that wants to leave him out, then he can't get to his spirit because there's something else blocking the communication called the world. And when the world blocks his inability to get to the spirit that he's placed inside of you, there is a breach in the relationship, and there is now a separation in the fellowship. While you can never lose your salvation, you can lose your intimacy. While you can never lose your salvation, you can lose your closeness. You can lose your intimate relationship with God. And God does not want that. He does not want the world to interfere with the relationship that he spiritually wants to have with us. So one of the reasons more prayers aren't being answered, more power isn't being realized, more victories are not being won, is because God's not free enough to get to the spiritual to address the other things. If he was ever free enough to get to the spiritual, then we would see much more of him, hear much more from him, and see him do much more through us, because he's at home. He's at home because we have not adopted the world. That is, we have not acquiesced to its values that leave God out. So, worldliness, that system headed by Satan that does not want God included in the equation. But then he says something. In verse 6, it's sort of a motivator, sort of an encourager. He wants to tell you why you don't want the world to interfere with your relationship with him. He says, but he gives a greater grace. A lot of Christians are operating on limited grace. They got enough grace to save them, but they don't have enough grace to change them. They had enough grace to forgive them, but they don't have enough grace working to empower them. But guess what? He says, if you tell the world that I am your love, that you are married to me, and that I'm not going to let you cause me to lose out on my relationship with the Lord, I give greater grace. Grace is divine favor. It is unmerited favor. And he says, I give greater grace. In other words, you'll see more of my favor, more of my involvement, more of my clarity, more of my correction. He says, I can give you as much grace as you can handle. He says, but not if you are friends with the world. Why should I give favor to somebody who doesn't want me, who only wants me when it's convenient? Why should I give grace, divine, unmerited favor? But when God gives greater grace, when God gives greater presence, then you'll find victory over things you never had victory over before. You'll find addictions being overcome. You'll find relationships being restored. You'll find your mind getting right. You'll find support from heaven helping you on earth, because God is free to give greater grace, because he knows you're not going to take the grace and give it to the world that doesn't want it. He says he gives